Today we again come to you with studies in the Gospel through Luke, and we're in chapter 5. We're going to be reading from verse 27 to the end of the chapter. I would just like to say here that I've been really appreciating your prayers and your cooperation with us, and I'm thrilled when I receive letters speaking of the blessing of the Lord on your own hearts. And of how some have told me that the more they read, the more they get out of it. And that's true. And the more you read this Gospel through Luke, over and over again, the more the Spirit of God will make the truth very precious and very real to you. And of course, this is what we would like to have in your life and in my life. Now, I am reading from chapter 5, verse 27. After these things, that is, after he had cleansed the leper and healed the man who had been sick of the palsy, our Lord went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. And Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often, and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees? But your disciples, they eat and drink. And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Now we've come to a wonderful passage where we read our Lord manifesting his power over men. Now I can understand him having power over nature, and we had that in the beginning of the chapter, and then power over disease, cleansing a leper, healing a man who had the palsy. But now we come to another manifestation of his power, and this is over people, over men. And I think, of course, this is the greatest demonstration in the whole chapter, where he manifests his power over men. Here is a man by the name of Levi. His name would be Matthew, the one who wrote the first book of the New Testament. And this man is a publican. That is, he's a tax gatherer. And you know how you and I feel about tax gatherers. Well, in those days, a publican, a tax gatherer, was one who was greatly despised by the Jewish people. You see, the Roman government demanded that so much tax must be given to them from each person. And every Jew had to pay a tax. Well, now, instead of these tax gatherers just gathering the tax which the Roman government demanded, they increased the tax. If they weren't any money, that's how they're going to get it, because the Roman government didn't pay these publicans to gather taxes. They just demanded that each one give the government so much. So these men used to add to it. And sometimes, and I think possibly most of the time, they added more than they should. And hence they were despised by the Jewish people. And this man Levi was sitting at the receipt of custom. And he was sitting down there gathering taxes. And Jesus came along, looked at Levi, a man who was materialistic in his philosophy of life, and just said two words, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. I am sure that when Jesus went by and said, Follow me, Levi looked up, saw Jesus, and once he saw Jesus, he forgot his money, he forgot his job. He left all and followed him. Do you know, friend, what a privilege. Here is the Lord Jesus calling a man to discipleship. He doesn't ask every one of us to leave our jobs or our money. But here's a man who was sold out to money. He was a publican. He had a materialistic philosophy of life, and he didn't care how he got his money as long as he got it. Sold out to it. Like so many people today in our own land, they've sold out to money. They've sold their souls for money. May the Lord deliver us from such a thing. And Jesus just looked upon Levi and said, "Follow me." My friend, he's looking upon you today and is saying, "Follow me. Accompany me. Be a partner with me. Have fellowship with me. Follow me." Christian friend, may I just say a word personally to you? I'm not questioning the fact that you've accepted him as your Savior. But are you enough in love with Jesus to follow him? To be his disciple? You see, every Christian is not a disciple. A Christian is one who has come into right relationship with the Savior by faith. A disciple is one who follows him, is obedient to him, who loves him. I've oftentimes said, I was asked not long ago by a brother in another group, he wrote me a letter, "Can you give me one little statement about a disciple?" I said, "Yes, a disciple is one who has real affection for the person of Christ and is obedient to the word of Christ. Follow me." And my friend, just as real as it was to Levi, when Jesus said to him, "Follow me," he rose up and followed him. He became a transformed man. A transformed man. He became a channel through which God could give to us a portion of the Word of God. What a transformation. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new." God doesn't patch us up. He makes us entirely new. He gives us a new nature. There's no hope for the old nature. For centuries, God has tested man, and man has proven himself to be unrighteous, to be a sinner. And so God says, "Okay, I'm going to do something entirely new. I'm going to take sinners who know they're sinners, and they're going to accept my Son as Savior. I'm going to transform them into saints." In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul wrote, "Being a Jew or a Gentile doesn't profit anything but a new creation." Aren't you glad for that, friend? Aren't you glad that the patching days are over, that God takes a man like Levi, a man who had a materialistic philosophy of life, sold out to money, and now he's transformed, he left all, changed his philosophy of life, followed Jesus, and he found peace, he found forgiveness, he found real life. Let me look at that. What did Levi do? Well, he did a very wonderful thing. See, if you want to get a good group of men together, put a feast on. That's true. It's always been true. So Levi thought, well, how in the world am I going to get all my friends to meet Jesus? Very simple. He just made a big feast, called them out of his house, fed them. He sat down with publicans and sinners, a great company of publicans and others who sat down with him. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples of Jesus and said, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Say, aren't you glad he's a friend of publicans and sinners? If I may run over to the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel, I read these words concerning, you remember you just met Zacchaeus, the chief of the publicans. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Say, aren't you glad that he came to seek sinners? Why do you eat again? Why do your disciples eat with sinners? You know, we can learn a lesson from this question of this man Levi. I can have a great admiration for Levi. He's a real man. He had a lot of friends, but they were publicans and sinners. All these Pharisees wouldn't have a thing to do with him. Of course not. The religious folk wouldn't even go near them. Just like some of our religious folk today. Jesus still loves sinners. Do you hear me? Jesus still loves sinners. If that were not true, the day of grace would come to an end. We'd have a time of judgment. He's still pleading with lost men and women. He is still saying, as we have in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Mr. Mitchell, I'm too much of a sinner. No. In verse 32 we read, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Let me go back a little bit. The Pharisees murmured, saying, murmured against who? The disciples of Jesus. They were trying to get at Jesus through the disciples. They weren't concerned about the disciples of Jesus. They were trying to get at Jesus. I said a while ago, in the preceding lessons, they were there to criticize. They weren't there to help. They weren't there to be instructed. They weren't there to learn anything. They were there to find fault. Like a lot of folk I know today. They have great delight in finding fault with somebody else. They're not there to learn. They're not there to have their hearts open to be blessed of God. They're not there to manifest love and long-suffering and tenderness with some dear weak Christian. They're there to find fault. A great many of our churches are being hindered from doing the job God wants them to do. Why? Too many are finding fault. The Lord's in the background. May the Lord deliver you and me from that thing. It's another aspect, it's another manifestation of self-righteousness. Too often, I like to call them these self-righteous old sticks who are ever on the job finding fault with somebody else, who are better than they are, by the way, only they won't acknowledge it. So these Pharisees, and they murmured against Jesus' disciples, they were trying to get at him. Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Now mark the answer of our Savior. And Jesus answering said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I didn't come to call you Pharisees and scribes. You folk think that you're just perfect. You scribes and Pharisees, you wouldn't acknowledge the fact that you're sinners. So I can't do a thing for you. When a man thinks he's well, he's not going to go to a doctor. Who wants to go to a doctor when you're well? But believe me, when you get really sick, you run to the doctor. So his answer was, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, I like this statement. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I didn't come to call good people. You know, one time, a friend of mine was having some tent meetings, and he put a great streamer across the street just before you went into the tent. And on this streamer, he had printed on the streamer, hell is filled with good religious people. And after one of the night meetings, a preacher came to see him, and he said, did you put that up there? He said, yes, you got no right to put that there. He said, mister, I understand. And I think you must come to the place where you must realize that you're a sinner. Heaven is filled with redeemed sinners, not self-righteous people. Not self-righteous people. I came not to call the righteous. God is not looking for good people, religious people to commend. God is looking for sinners he might save. Do you believe that? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I repeat the statement. He did not come. He's not looking for good people to commend. He didn't die to make sure your righteousness. He died to vindicate the righteousness of God, that God's righteousness might be given to you when you had none. For there is none righteous, no, not one. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. May I say, friend, after 1900 years, the Lord is still calling sinners to repentance, to turn around. I like that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where we read, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often? That is John the Baptist. They make prayers. Likewise, our disciples, they do the same thing. But your disciples, they eat and drink. Now mark the Lord's answer. Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. You see, friend, what he's really saying, as long as I'm with them, they're going to eat and drink. Time is going to be when I'm going to leave them. Then they'll fast and then they'll pray. See? May I just say one more thing, then I'm going to go on and finish the chapter. And that is, Christ becomes the center of Levi's life. Follow me. Accompany me. Make me the center of your affection and devotion as well as your faith. This is what Jesus is asking of you. This is what he's asking of me. Christ of necessity must be the center. Must be the center. Indeed, if Christ is not the center, you'll be manifesting the fact that you're not a real disciple of the Savior. Oh, how we need real disciples of Jesus. Men and women who are not only trusting him as Savior, but have made him the objects of their love and of their devotion. Now from verse 36 to the end of the chapter, he contrasts, he gives a little parable indeed, between the old and the new. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old garment. Otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. New wine must be put into new bottles. Both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desires the new, for he saith, the old is better. Now see, what's he going to do? You can't mix the old with the new. You cannot mix the law with all its ceremonies and all its legality with the grace of God. Our Lord came to bring in something entirely new. That's why I said a while ago, if any man be in this risen, glorified Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, all things become new. That's why I said when a person comes to Christ and accepts him, the Lord doesn't patch him up. He makes him entirely new. Jesus here says, no man puts a piece of a new garment over an old garment. Otherwise, both the new and the old will be rent. No, he puts a new piece on a new garment, so on. You can't mix the old with the new. And I'm sure that the Lord has in mind here this question of the bringing in of a new covenant with God. The old one did not satisfy. The old one did not cleanse from sin. The old covenant did not make people new. All the old could do was to condemn, make sin exceeding sinful. It couldn't meet faith. It's not a faith. It can't give life. It's a ministration of death. It's a ministration of condemnation. But the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, takes sinners and transforms them into saints, makes them new men and women in Christ. You see, what I'm after, friend, is that the Lord wants to make you over. He doesn't want to patch you up. And he is saying to you, just as he said to this man Levi, follow me, follow me. That's all. We had the beginning of the chapter when he said to Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, follow me, and you will catch men alive. But here he's saying to Levi, just two words, follow me. You find the same thing in John chapter 1, about verse 41, 42, when the Lord found Philip, and he just said to him two words, follow me. And listen, the reason why we do not follow him is because we have not seen him as he really is. Oh, will you read this book of Luke, this gospel through Luke? Will you read your Bible and just look at Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know him? And he is saying to you and to me, follow me. Oh, to have our eyes open just to see him. I'll tell you, I'll guarantee, if your eyes are open to see him, you'll fall in love with him. Then he becomes the very life. He becomes the very heart of your affection and devotion. And obedience to the word of God will be the manifestation of it. May you see him today, and the Lord wonderfully bless you for his name's sake.